greet you this morning with the words that we find in 1 Peter 1, where Peter says, "Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Good morning, everyone. I would like to also extend a welcome to each one. It is a real blessing to see that you have come to the Lord's house. This is an important part of our life, is coming together with believers, encouraging one another, cheering one another on, and listening to the Word of God, and allow God's Word to speak to us. And so I want to welcome you. If you're regulars, or you're visiting, or youth, or whatever you are, I just pray today that God will speak to us. Sorry. 1 John 3. I'm going to read a few verses. That is not my text, but I'm going to start with these verses and I will end up with these verses. The Spirit so leads me. And 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him for we shall see him as he is." It's talking about amazing love. The wonderful plan of salvation starts with God's love for his creation. Behold. We need to recognize today, we need to see that what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We belong to the family of God. And the world knows us not, and the world doesn't understand God because it doesn't know him, doesn't know Jesus. They don't understand Jesus, and we are the sons of God because his love for us. It is reality. We belong. We are God's children. In verse 2, it tells us what we shall be. The reference here is the time of Jesus Christ's return for the church. God does not stop at the new birth. His love does not stop at the new birth. It continues in our life, throughout life, and takes us up to the return of Jesus Christ and into eternity. We will experience God's love. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Jesus is coming again, and he's going to receive his believers unto himself. And today, the Lord has led me to a portion of Scripture in 1 Peter 4, verse 7. To 11. That is going to be my text. Before I read that text, before we go into the message, I would just like to have a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray as we look at this text that you will be able to cause that text to become alive today in your people. Lord, speak to us in a way that only you can. Give your servant the strength to expound on the word in the way that would glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We can start with verse 7, 1 Peter 4, verse 7. End of all things is at hand. Peter said this 2,000 years ago. The end of all things is at hand. Now we know, we have heard, I've heard my parents have probably heard their parents, talk about living in the last time. And today we believe we're in the last time, and Peter and Paul believe that they were in the last time. So how do we explain, but the end of all things is at hand? I trust today we will know what the scripture will tell us. So how many of you believe that we are living in the last time? There's people raising their hands. Peter thought 2,000 years ago they were living in the last times. We've heard it from generation to generation. Christians in the early church expected Jesus to return in their life. We can read it in Romans, and I'm going to read 1 John 2, verse 18. 1 John 2, verse 18, it says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come," we've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. We know that there's much against Christ, anti-Christian, anti-Christ, anti-Jesus, against him. So they, the early church, believed that they were in the last time. But we know that he has not returned yet. Because we just read that when he comes, we will see him as he is. It shows us that we must live this life expectingly, expecting the return of Jesus Christ. I want to read this portion of Scripture now that we know that we're in the last times. I'll explain what that really means. We need to know. Peter tells us here how we then need to live, considering and knowing that we are in the last times. Verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand." Then he says, "Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." The last days means the final period of time. There was the time of creation. There was the time of fall of man. We just read that. We know that there was the law given, the time when the law was given, the covenant. Those days that we are living in are the final days. And God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and for me to be redeemed. No more prophets, nothing more to fulfill. Hebrews 1 was already read, and it is so beautiful. It says, "God, who in sundry times, or in times past, and in divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets," there's a time frame, "hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." We are in the last days, yes, according to Scripture. For the last days, for 2,000 years, have been the last days that, as Scripture talks about the last days, Jesus' return is imminent. Could happen any time. The last days, they started when Jesus came the first time, and they will end when he comes the second time. We are in the last days ever since Christ was born. Jesus' return is imminent. In Luke 12, verse 40, it says, Jesus himself says, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not." We live our lives so carelessly. In these last days, we need to know how to live. How to live in the last days. We could title the message, How to Live in the Last Days. We don't know when Jesus will come, but he tells us that we are in the last days, and he tells us how to live, Peter. It will help us to live and stand strong in the last days. Jesus could come at any moment. It's very, very important to notice when he says, but the end of all things is at hand, be ye therefore. Because of that we are in the last days, be ye therefore sober. Sober-minded, and watch unto prayer. Therefore, because we are in the last days, we need to be sober. We must have our minds set on Christ, a pure mind, filling it with the Word of God, knowing what God's Word says. Prayer is so important, it says. And watch unto prayer. I think Peter, he knew something about watching and praying when he wrote this. Jesus said the same thing when he was in his last days. On this earth, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26, verse 40 and 41, it says, And he cometh unto his disciples, and he findeth them asleep. Do we really think that we are above that? That we don't need to be warned and admonished and encouraged? That's what Peter is doing here. He knew something about watching and praying. And Jesus said unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? I asked you to pray for 1 hour. They failed the test, the disciples. So today my question is, how good are we at prayer? Prayer does not come easy. Prayer takes work, it takes time, it takes dedication, it takes earnestness, we need to be sober to pray. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know our desire is, yes, we want to do that. But are we committed that we're going to spend more time in prayer? If we did a survey and asked people, how much time do you spend? And you know, it's not maybe the how much time as in time, but we need to spend time in prayer. I wonder what it would be like. Would it be a minute a day? Would it be 2 minutes a day? What would it be? Maybe you And God can answer that between you and God. Today I just trust that the word of God will speak to you. Be ye therefore, because we are in the last days, sober and watch unto prayer. Who can say today that they're satisfied with their prayer life? You know, even the pastors, I would say I'm not. Not when I see the word of God. And the word of God reflects who I am. Today, can we determine in our hearts to spend more time in prayer? Because that's where the blessings start flowing. When we spend time in prayer, 1 Peter 4, verse 7, therefore, because the days are fewer, we should pray more. We know that as the time is shorter, we need to pray more. As the days are fewer. As life gets harder, we need to pray more. We know in Revelation 2, verse 4, the church had left their first love. Are we still determined to pray and love Jesus? Verse 8, it says, here he starts out and he says, we are to be sober, we are to watch and pray. And we look at the disciples, we know how easy we can fall. We're just like them. And then in verse 8, he says, and above all, prayer is mentioned first. But then he says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Fervent charity. What does it mean to have fervent charity? Love is a choice. Pushing, exerting, full, stretching. Love deeply. Love truly, not just a pretending love. You know, brothers and sisters, when we, as pastors, prepare to share the word of God, that is the time when Satan works harder and harder to destroy of the very truth that we are trying to tell people, or that the word of God is sharing with people. Love deeply. It doesn't mean just to love those that are easy to love. There's a lot of teaching in this for us as to how we are to live our lives. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. I don't believe that Peter's saying that our love will atone for sin. But he is saying, he quotes Proverbs 10, verse 12, he says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. James 5, verse 20. James 5, verse 20 says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from the death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Your love. It means that every time someone wrongs us, you have a choice. You choose to feed it and dwell on it and to slander that person, or discreetly cover it up. You don't need to necessarily go tell everybody else. Of all their sins. Love covers a multitude of sin. We restore that person. Let's read a few scriptures in John 13, verses 33 and 34. John 13, verse 33, Jesus says, "Little children, yet a little while am I with you, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you," and this is what he said, "a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Do we love fervently? "And ye shall love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another." By this the world can judge us. By this the world will know God. It reveals God to the world by how we love one another. Matthew 5, verse 43. Jesus again speaking, he says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies fervently." Loving fervently. "Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of the Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye?" And how often are we just loving those who love us, or those who are easy to love? You know, I'm reminded when I read this, was some years ago I had an opportunity to go to Mexico, and we went to an orphanage. And I hadn't prepared myself. I found out when I was there, those children, they wanted to be held. And I took one of them in my hands, in my arms, and it tested me. Could I really, that child didn't smell very good. Can we love that are harder to love? And maybe that's even in our own circle. There's people that somehow get under our skin. We are to repay evil with good. And I believe that's what it means to love fervently. "And above all things, have fervent charity," or love, "among yourselves." That means in the brotherhood and out in the world. "For charity shall cover a multitude of sins." And the reason why I'm saying out in the world, it says in verse 9, use hospitality. And hospitality means that we stretch our circle. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." We read verse 9, it says, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." Why did Peter have to put in there "without grudging"? Have you ever hosted someone or had someone come to your house or into your life in some way, and then later you just grumbled about him or her? Took too much of your time. Hospitality means we are to help people out on their journey in life. If you read, go home and read 3 John, there's a man named Gaius, and he did just that.
He helped people and he forwarded them on their journey in life. And if this is what we're going to do, we do well, it says in 3 John. To love strangers. It goes right back to the Old Testament in Exodus 22. I'm going to read you a few verses in Exodus 22, verse 21. It says, "Thou shalt neither vex a stranger, nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or the fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry." By this will all men know that you're my disciples. Brothers and sisters, today we need to realize love reveals to the world God. And they can judge us by this. The world will know if you're my disciples. The world knows if we love fervently. The world knows if we truly love deeply, pushing, exerting ourselves to love other people. If we read verse 10 and 11, it says, "And every man hath received the gift. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold graces of God. If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion, forever and ever." God has given us a gift to each one of us. God gives it to us, so we all have gifts. We need to discover our gift. Use your gift to serve people and to glorify God. In verse 11, it says, "Some speak the oracles of God, ministering one to another as good stewards of the manifold graces of God." Manifold means, and I know that's not a word that we use very often, but I did some research and it means many colored, many different graces, many different colored graces of God. As many people as here are here, there's many different gifts, manifold grace of God. Every believer has a gift, according to verse 10. Even so, minister the same one to another. Use your gift. It will be amazing. You will be amazed what God can use you for. It can be like a wildfire. When you use your gift, how it can touch other people's lives. We're not to be on an island on our own. We are in the last days, therefore, do this. To be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Someday, God will ask, "What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you?" As every man hath received the gift. There's no one useless in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, everyone is important. We are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A steward. What is a steward? A steward is someone who's in charge of someone else's resources. It's what God has entrusted to us to use. When you stand before God, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I entrusted to you? Not someone else. We don't have to look at anybody else today. We just need to turn our eyes, our spiritual eyes, on our own heart. Peter says to us today in this scripture, pray, love, and serve. And it will bring glory to God. Pray. Pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? Love those you know and them that you don't know. Love them strenuously, fervently. Increase your love to strangers outside the church. You know, there may be even somebody in the church that feels nobody cares for them. How sad if there would be somebody in this congregation, as many people as we have here. Maybe God wants to use you even today or tomorrow or in the future, should he grant you life, to use you to encourage someone in their walk of faith. We all searching for that love. We all have a vacuum. We need that love. We need the love of God. And we need love from his people. It's not just a little click that we feel comfortable with. We need to expand our circle. Find your place in the church, the community, and serve. God wants to use your hands, your feet, your lips, and that's how God gets his will accomplished. I'm going to end with 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world doesn't understand Jesus, and the world doesn't understand us. When we love others that maybe despitefully use us or do bad to us, and we can love them back, brothers and sisters, love is your most powerful tool that you have in this life. If you will repay evil with good, it tells us in scripture that it will be like a coal of fire on their head. They won't be, you can't stand it. You have to get it off of there. Verse 3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And someday, it tells us here in verse 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be when he shall appear, but when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. There's a time coming. We are in the last days. And some people might think that his promise, but scripture tells us he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he gives us time. He's still waiting for people to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I wanted to read that verse, and about Jesus waiting that he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are we excited? Do we live our life in such a way that we're expecting Jesus to return? And then we will see him as he is. In order to do that, we need to continue to watch and pray, love fervently, use hospitality. How to live in the last times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we can come into your presence this morning, that you, in your word, you tell us how to live in the last time. And we know that someday Jesus is coming, and he's going to take the believers unto himself, and we will meet in the air, and we will see him face to face. We will see him as he is. We will worship him, glorify him, and we will serve him. And no unrighteousness will enter into heaven. And so, Heavenly Father, as we recognize that this day is coming, according to the Word of God, you have said it, and it's coming. So often we live carelessly. We don't spend time in prayer like we ought to. Lord, we pray that you will forgive us. But we are like the disciples. What could you not watch and pray with me 1 hour? Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Lord, may we recognize that when we spend time in prayer, that's when the blessings start flowing. That's when we have fellowship with you. That's when we grow with an intimate relationship. We sharing our heart with you and you revealing yourself through your word. And so we thank you for that today. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings of the spiritual needs that we have. And Lord, today, if there's someone in the pews that is struggling spiritually, I pray that you will reveal yourself to that person. And if it's through someone else, through their love, through a kind deed, through a fervent love, maybe there's been relationships that have been strained or cut off, I pray, Lord, that they will be rebuilt, that you will do a work. You will use your word, Lord, to teach us, and that we will be faithful. We thank you for the spiritual needs. We thank you for the physical needs, Lord, we cannot help. But turn to you and just say, thank you, Lord, for that beautiful rain, that you saw fit to bless us again. But Lord, may we always remember, if you had seen fit not to, that we would still be thankful and that we would love you fervently and still spend time in prayer. May we remember, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer and you taught your disciples to pray, thy will be done. Like Jesus prayed, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Lord, we just thank you that we can be sons and daughters. We belong to the family. We thank you for that. And so as we belong to the family, Lord, we remember there's people that are struggling spiritually and physically. Lord, we think of, I believe it is Andrew Clausen. I believe I understand that he had a heart attack yesterday at an operation. I believe I have that information right, but Lord, we know that you know. And I pray that you will be very close to him. Even this very hour, Lord, that you will uphold him with your right hand of righteousness, that he will recognize that you will never leave him or forsake him, that he can claim those promises. I believe Ed Giesbrecht, Lord, I pray that you will, I believe I've seen him here today, I pray that you will continue to just keep him in your care and grant him healing, Lord. There's others that are, George Penner, and many people are struggling with different health issues. And Lord, it is all because of the result of sin, the fall of man. We know that Satan is there trying to devour, comes an angel, as an angel of light, or as a thief. But I do pray, Lord, that we will be able to stand against him by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that we can say, get thee behind me, Satan. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to build your church and do your work. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, happy day that fixed my joys on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to him who merits all my love. That cheerful anthem fill this house while to the sacred shrine I move. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Now rest my long divided heart fixed on this blissful center rest. Forever from my Lord depart, with him of every good possessed. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Jesus makes the difference in our lives. That gives us joy and peace, and that love that we are asked to share, we experience. What a blessing. I want to close. I want to thank you all for coming. It is, for those of you who are visiting, trust that we have been able to worship our Heavenly Father together, and you've been blessed, and all those that attend regularly. I want to thank you all for coming, and everybody that makes the service possible. We are so grateful. And I want to thank the candidates for doing the catechism. It was a blessing that you were part of the service this morning. May God bless you for it. Let's bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May depart. May the peace of the Lord go with you.